What's poppin', my Freeform Renegades? You are tuned into the Freeform Network. Thank you for joining us for another fun episode of Freeform Radio. I'm your host, as always, Noel, with my co-host, Daniel.
Yes, sir. Man, it's starting to snow out here, and I thought we were in spring, so I'm not really sure what's going on, but we'll roll with the punches and get into it.
Yeah, it's per Chicago, man. That's how it is. And Andy.
It's all good, Andy. We're back here. I just want to my son made a cameo on last week's episode, and I heard the fans' reaction, and we'll see if he'll make an appearance today. I don't know yet, but we're here and ready to talk your ears off.
Sounds good, man. Well, like Daniel was saying, it is another cold day here in Chicago. I guess spring hasn't caught up to us yet. But wherever you listeners are, we hope you're relaxed and feeling good. And we're going to jump right into it, starting it off with Andy. And it looks like you have it on your list to talk about this banking collapse. I hear a lot of this going around. A lot of banks are struggling right now. What are your thoughts on this, Andy?
Well, you know, it all started here in the United States with that Silicon Valley Bank, and then inflation. They had a bank run. Now it looks like it's spreading to Europe. There was a couple bank bailouts, or that's not the term they want to use, but they're having other banks buy these failing banks. And I guess in Europe, it's pretty bad right now. It started with Credit Suisse and the UBS, and now it's a Deutsche Bank. And I was reading the new one, the Deutsche Bank, it's a pretty big bank. It's an old bank. And it's like they're talking about it's going to have, it might run into issues like as early as the time of this recording, like a week or something, because they have a lot of, they have a lot of bad debt, and they're afraid of a bank run. And there's talks about that, they might get bought out. Just to put it in perspective, they're on this list in the United States with the Fed that it's one of those banks where it's too big to fail. So I don't know if the American taxpayer is ready to bail out a bank in Europe. I know from the last bailouts in 2008, there was money that was falling over to Europe, some European banks. So this is going to be interesting to see how the Biden administration handles it, because a lot of people are still pissed off at the Silicon Valley Bank, how that's handled. They're like, oh, the FDIC is going to insure all the deposits, even because, you know, they insure up to $250,000, and that they're talking about they're going to get everybody taken care of, even like some of these, because it was basically a tech bank, and a lot of the tech companies and startups got their loans from there. They had their money in that bank. The one that pops up to my head was Roku had a checking account that was like something like $400 million. A checking account. Like, who the fuck does that? Like if you're an accountant, knowing what the banks are insured to when your deposits, like, you're gambling with that money, unless they know something, which a lot of people have speculated that, yeah, they knew that if something happens, don't worry, the government's going to bail us out, or they're going to take care of you. And that, and that's, like, I think that's the new thing now. Like, after 2008, I think financial institutions, especially big ones, I think they're not worried about losing money, because they think they're gonna, or they pretty much know they're gonna get bailed out. And it's pretty shitty, I think, that the taxpayer is gonna be putting that up, that type of bailout. Like, our money, they're like, well, the money's in the FDIC, and they collect fees from the banks to keep that, you know, that account filled for shit like this. But ultimately, it's going to go to every other bank, and guess what they're going to do? They're going to pass that cost on to its consumer, the depositor of that bank, and to fill that up. And then if you have continuous banks go under, like Silicon Valley Bank, and then they had that first one, First National, I think someone bought them out recently, is it like a couple weeks ago, and they're like crisis averted, but there's people speculating that the government had a big hand in assuring the person that bought that bank, like, don't worry, we got you. You just buy it, and then we'll take care of it if anything happens after this. So we might come down to where it's just like four big banks in this country, and the community bank and small banks. Who knows what the hell's gonna happen?
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought that the FDIC or whatever it is, FDIC, that they guarantee it, but that they had like an account, like you mentioned, that they put small deposits and, you know, and then keep money in there in case these things would happen. Maybe not to bail out every single bank in the world or every single bank in the United States, but be in a position that you'd be able to float and cover some of this. But you're right. If they do go over, does that start coming into the taxpayer have to float that bill?
Yeah, like remember 2008, they went in there. A lot of people, financial people, went in there, which was a different whole set of issues. But they're like, if they don't get this money, the economy is going to collapse on Monday. They went like on a Friday night. And next thing you know, they gave them a blank check. And they got money and they were all right. And not all the banks needed the money. That was another thing. I mean, from what I heard, a lot of the banks paid it back. But again, the FDIC is only insured to $250,000. Now, if you open a bank account and you put $400 million as a checking account, like, if this bank goes under, like, I don't know when's the last time anybody walked into a bank here. I think I went like a month ago. They still have that sign, like, we're FDIC insured for $250,000.
Yeah, I actually went last week.
Yeah. If you go in there and you're like, I'm going to open a checking account, $400 million. I don't know if they're going to tell you, well, that's not a good idea. How about we do this? But like this perfect example, the bank goes under. What the fuck do you do? Like if you're a manager or some type of a financial officer or CFO of a big company, wouldn't you be pissed off? Like you're potentially at loss. You could lose all that money if there's a bank run or we have another economic crisis. You know, and like, yeah, it's just to me, like, that's bad business.
Yeah, man, it's weird, man. I would think that, especially because I remember, and to be honest, I don't know much about what's going on with the bank thing. I've been kind of in a media silence on a lot of stuff. It's just too much bad. I guess it's just too much bad news, man. I just want to be that idiot that doesn't know anything. And kind of it just hits me and it's like, what? What are you talking about? It's going to rain tomorrow. Like that kind of thing where I don't want to know shit anymore. And I kind of like briefly knew about it. And I thought there was stuff in place that was going to help prevent this in the future. Yes. So I'm not sure what the heck is going on. So and was it not enough to prevent this? So I mean, I don't know.
Some of the regulation that came out of 2008 got repealed with under Trump, but again,
Biden's right. Trump's still messing shit up, man.
But he's like, don't worry, I got this blank check over here. I'm gonna pay out everything. Well, that's the thing. Like in Europe, the two of those banks, the Credit Suisse and the Deutsche Bank, the regulators that monitor those banks, like said, oh man, they're in excellent health. And then like the next week, one of them just about goes under, but they got bought out. It's what happens like always. So if you come out and you hear your bank's not doing well, you're like, oh shit, people go and pull their money. And if everybody starts pulling their money, guess what happens? The bank doesn't really have money. It's all tied up into shit. So people, there's a bank run, you know, and they really don't have money because they take your money and they do shit with your money. They're not hoping you come and go ask for it. Like, can I have all my money back? They're like, why? Like that Roku people have $400 million checking account. Like, I'm going to close my account. Give me my money. we don't have $400 million. It's all tied up into bonds and all this other shit, you know, and It's the problem is, Dan, like you said, like this wouldn't have been a big deal, but the world is like everything is so connected now. It's like this domino effect that happens to one thing applies to, like, well, I'm in this bank, it doesn't matter. And then you find out, well, they put money into that bank, so they're tied into with that bank, and it's a fucking mess, man. Like everything is so connected. Like that's why they need constant like not bailouts, but like it's just I don't know what to make of it anymore, and I'm just worried. Like, yeah, what the fuck's gonna happen? Like, there's a guy I watch on YouTube. He was already predicting like some of the European banks to fall, and one of them he predicted two, and one is Credit Suisse. And I'm like, man, how the fuck does this guy know? And he was showing all this shit, and then he was right. Like the next week, it went down. And then now he's predicting that the one that's going on right now is that Deutsche Bank. Supposedly they have like $6 trillion in money spread out, and like they have a lot of issues with bonds because once they started raising the interest rate, that's when all this shit happened. Like always, it's all connected. And I don't know. There's people saying that the Fed's gonna come out and say, see, we can control all this shit if we have digital currency, and they're gonna come out with their own coin, the Federal Reserve, and then they're talking about, yeah, it's gonna be the U.S. something, and they're like, don't trust Bitcoin. That's all like bullshit. It's manipulated, but our coin is not gonna be manipulated. And if you lose money in this, we'll give you our US dollar coin, cryptocurrency type of shit. That's the feeling. That's what everybody's kind of talking about now. That's where this is going.
Well, I do remember a few years back there was the talk about the North American coin or something like that, where it would,
Monero?
yeah, something like that, just like the euro, but it was going to be North American, and it was going to be the combination of these countries over here in the North American side. But yeah, man, I got to admit, this is a little bit over my head. I don't really go into financing that much. It's just perplexing and kind of scary that things could go out of business like this.
Well, that
Places that are holding your money and are supposed to hold your future, so that when you retire or you're trying to buy a house or big purchases and you're putting your money in there, are people gonna have to start putting their money back in their mattress and kind of hold on to it just for fears that you can lose it?
that's the thing, then. Like everybody's like, how the fuck does this impact me? I bank with so and so or whatever. The raising of the interest rate impacts people who want to buy homes. So like you have. I owned the home during the 2008 crash or whatever the fuck you want to call it, the Great Recession. And the original loan from the bank or mortgage people I got it from, they didn't make it. And then they sold my loan to another bank. That bank didn't make it. And I'm ultimately like, I'm thinking like, when the fuck am I gonna be able. When do I do not pay anybody, right? So, and then the people who ultimately ended up holding the note on that mortgage wasn't even a bank. It was some like, I don't know, like a collection agency, some middleman before they finally sold it to another finance group, and then they're the ones that ultimately were the bank in question. And then I remember a couple years ago, right before the pandemic, they were part of this lawsuit where they were charging fees to make payments. I signed up to it and they ultimately settled. I got $7 because they were charging people fees to pay the fucking mortgage, which is illegal apparently in Illinois or something. So I forgot what they called the fee, but it's something else. But they settled that. But I don't even think that bank is around no more. So that I went through what one, two, maybe like three different banks on my old mortgage, and then the bank where my current mortgage they haven't sold it yet, but I'm kind of shocked. It's a BMO, and they still own the note on the house, but I'm living at now. But at my old house, the first house I bought with my mom, we had the initial mortgage was with WAMU. I don't remember them. And then they fucking went through some shit, too. They went under, and I forgot who the hell, when we sold the house, who had the mortgage. I don't even fucking remember. But it was just like, I'm like, I thought, you know, growing up, banks were, like, stable and shit. And, like, we went all through that. It was just insane. Like, it got to a point where, like, I don't understand any of this shit. And, but, yeah, it's, I think this is going to impact, hopefully it doesn't impact it. But I think if a lot of them happen, it's going to be an issue. It's going to impact a lot of Americans. Hopefully it doesn't happen, because it is going to be, it's just like a, like they always shit on Reagan's trickle down economics. Well, that shit's going to trickle down to the American citizen. And then probably or not, we're going to be asked to pay for that shit again. So, you know, let us know what you guys think at ffnquestions@gmail.com. But with that being said, let's transition to something better. Maybe Danny, Mr. He's like, I put the whole world on snooze and silent. But I know he had some issues with his own problem here. He was setting up some furniture. I think there was some user error in trying to assemble it because the instructions weren't well. Or did they give you a link to a video, Dan? How does that work now? I don't even know.
They came in Swedish, or yeah, it's a Swedish company, right?
IKEA.
I was buying some IKEA furniture, and I gotta say, I was extremely confident that I'd be able to put this thing together. We were buying Junior his first bedroom set, complete bedroom set, because fortunately for us, our mother-in-law gifted us his first ever bedroom set, other than the crib, which my parents bought him his first crib. But this is the first bedroom that we had buy him, or that we bought him. So when we went to go pick it out, the guy's going over, all right, this is your totals. This is delivery if you want it. And I'm like, yes, it's too much stuff for me to put in the truck. And then he got to the assembly part. And I'm like, for the hell of it, how much do you guys charge for assembly? And the guy's like, usually for what you bought, it's going to be about $150. But I could run through the numbers and we can get a more definitive estimate. And I'm like, nah, if it's going to be that much, I can take care of it. And I remember distinctly looking over to Alana, and she's just like having the face like, no, just have somebody do this. And I mean, I'm just thinking, I'm like, it's a bedroom set. I mean, it can't be that much. And it wasn't that much, to be quite honest. But I got to say, man, I used to hold IKEA's manuals in higher esteem, that even when we work on our manuals at our company that I work for, I usually bring that up as a point, like, hey, we should have some exploded views, we should show this and that, kind of like the IKEA manuals, I would always say. But these last, or at least this recent purchase here, I gotta say, man, either I'm totally not remembering these manuals correctly for other stuff that I've bought from IKEA, or they just taken a really south turn, because half the stuff was not labeled. And I'm granted, the screws and stuff like that, I get it. Those have never been labeled. But there was pieces of wood that were not labeled. There's no letters saying piece A to piece B. It was just showing you a pictorial, like, this is what it's supposed to look like. No references as to its dimensions. Big pieces look the same as small pieces. The only thing that would give you an inkling as to what it is the holes on it. It's like, all right, this picture shows 8 holes. And so you would have to look at all your pieces and which piece has 8 holes on it. And then that's how you would, that's how I have to put it together, because there was no letters or nothing.
None of the panels or anything, none of that was labeled or with letters or anything?
No. The only thing that was labeled were like the rails, because we bought a bedroom, a bed with drawers underneath the bed. And then we bought a dresser that had drawers as well. So the only thing that were like stamped with a left and a right kind of number were the metal rails that get put onto the drawers. But other than that, there was nothing that said this is A, B, C, you know, part 1R, part 1L, any kind, nothing like that, man. Nothing.
Damn.
And I got to say, man, I was really confident that I was going to be able to put it together that day that it arrived. It arrived on a Sunday. Needless to say, it took us about a week to put this thing together. We would hit it hard on Sunday. I did some more on Monday. We took a few days. And then I think I finished the rest like on Thursday. And, man, it really kind of beat me up, man, to the point where I'm with you, Andy. I'm thinking in the future, I'm just going to pay some guy $150 and just stand there and be like, yeah, put it over here when you're done. And then just kind of relax back because it was kind of tough.
For me, $150, it's a little, to be honest with you, it's a little steep. But if it was under $100, I think I would have bid on it. I was thinking like, man, they're probably going to tell him $50, $75, but it's double what I thought. So it's always what, in my head, the way the current economics are on this country, it's always double what I think I should pay. And then to me, that's like, but if it was $100, I think you should have been at $150. I kind of agree with you. It's a little bit much, but I think it's a multi-piece set, right? It's more than just like a bed and you had cabinets and stuff like that or something.
Right,
like
right.
Nightstand and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the bed frame itself was huge because it has drawers underneath. And then the headboard has shelving in it so that he could put stuff up, his alarm clock, his phone charger and stuff like that. So it's a pretty nice setup with a lot of pieces. And, it, you know, for the most part, the quality was well. But also another wrinkle to the story is that two boards broke as I was putting them together. the drawers, the last pieces, I'm like, all right, I'm finishing the drawers, tightening the screw and crack. Oh, shit. All right. Put that aside. Let's keep going. Let's see what we can finish. Boom, crack, another one. And I ended up going back to Kia, which I had never returned anything before that was like defective or that I broke, not intentionally, but whatever. So I'm like, I hope this thing is painless and it's not difficult. Not intentional. And I got to say it was a very well, good process. It was busy as hell during the weekend. So I went one day after work. I drove there and it was half busy. It wasn't as busy. So it was great because I stood in line for like 5-10 minutes. The guy came up and he's just like, yeah, we usually have spares on a lot of these. He came back with the pieces. He's like, would you like for me to reassemble it? Because I had finished the drawer. It was on the last like screw. Like this is the last thing you got to tighten and it cracked. So I didn't even take it apart. I just took the drawer as is and I took it to the store. So he's just like, do you want me to replace it? And I'm like, oh, that'd be great. So he took it apart, replaced the piece and then put it all back together. So I'm like, oh, sweet. The other piece I had broken like at step one. So he just gave me the piece that I needed back. And the only thought that I had to be honest, while I'm waiting there is like, man, I hope when I get home and put this thing back together that I don't break it again. I'm like, I should have finished assembling it and brought it in just like I did the first piece where I brought it in complete so that he could put it together and I could be reassured that it's going to be fine. And I got to admit, when I got home and I went to tighten that screw, I heard a little bit of creaking and I'm like, that's tight enough. I'm going to leave it alone, man. That's good enough.
You started sweating. You're like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
I bet it all turned out good then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got to say he seems really happy with it. He had a twin bed. That's what my mother-in-law had purchased for him, which was plenty for a growing kid. You know, moving from a crib to a twin bed is plenty. I mean, it seems like you have all this space. But now he's a teenager. He's going to be 14 this year. And he needed a little bit more room, especially because the dog likes to sleep in the bed with him. And it just wasn't enough room. So we got him a full size and now he's swimming. He's got all this space. He can really move around and he seems really pleased with it. And now he's got a lot more room drawer-wise because he's got four drawers in the bed itself, and then he's got an entire dresser. So that was the other problem that he would have with his old bedroom set, is that stuff would be laying out the side. So hopefully that's all done and finished, and this will be his bedroom set until he gets married and moves out, and it's somebody else's problem. But
you have the, you're that confident in IKEA is going to hold up for
I hope so, 10 man. Years. I really hope so, but we will see. Hey, the next thing I want to talk about was Sopranos. I finished watching it over, I think this is my second full watch through, and probably like my third like partial watch through where I started it and dropped. But it's my second all the way start to end watch through. And I don't know, Andy, is it safe to talk about the Sopranos ending? I think most people have seen it, right?
It's been over 10 years, man. So right? It's pretty much, yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Have you seen this, Noel, the whole thing?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I've seen partial watch-throughs and full watch-throughs, yeah.
All right. Well, I wanted to talk about the ending because this is my second watch-through, so I kind of knew what was going on already. So I had a different eye. I mean, it's weird how when you rewatch shows, you kind of see it in a different angle, and you kind of know what's going to happen, so you start picking up different details. I gotta say, man, I think at the end of the first watch through that I ever did, like everybody should know spoilers, the movie just the TV show just fades to black. It doesn't really give a definitive ending, and a lot of people theorize that Tony might have got killed. A lot of people theorize that you know, they lived happily ever after, that the government came and arrested them. So there's a lot of like multiple theories and angles, and I probably don't know all of them to begin with. But the first watch through, I thought happy ending. They went off, lived happily ever after kind of thing. This second watch through, my feeling is that Tony got killed at the end, and that's him dying. And I think even the producer, right, Andy, the writer or something, didn't he come out with like this is the real ending kind of thing?
Yeah, I David Chase, I think kind of, I think he didn't say it so many words, but he wished he would have done the ending different. But basically he's saying that Tony died in that last scene. He didn't just come out and say, he like danced around it with the words that he used, but I think he, and I kind of agree, that's why you don't see anything, because you'll see everything pretty much through Tony's perspective throughout the whole show.
So you thought from your first watch through, because you've watched it multiple times as well, did you think from the start that that was Tony being killed?
No, I did not. I just didn't like the ending. Like, it didn't make sense because it wasn't really wrapped. I didn't understand it, but after rewatching it, I rewatched the whole series like at least six times, multiple times on DVD, and then it became available on Prime and all that stuff and HBO Max. I rewatched it there, but yeah, it's people breaking down like things that you don't really look for. Yeah, I think he died. I think they shot him.
What about you? What about you, Noel? What were your thoughts in your first, second watch through, or whatever? What were your thoughts on the ending?
When I watched it, it was already at the point where the internet, Google was around and everything. So I was able to like look up kind of theories afterwards. I thought maybe he had died. It, like the way it led up to like that episode, things were not going well for Tony, and it was just a matter of time before everything was going to crumble down around him, and everyone was starting to lose faith in him and stuff like that. So I had a feeling it wasn't going to end well. And there was like a few, what is it called? People call them Easter eggs. Like there's like little hints at, or not Easter eggs, but like little hints that
show
that
like he might have gone. I didn't know the jacket had anything to do with it.
Yep. He went to the washroom, and then you don't see him come out. But then Tony is just looking at his family, and then it goes black. And I'm like, That could have been the guy coming out of the washroom and just shooting him in the back, and that's it. You know?
But I'm not sure, because he was kind of looking towards what I proposed to be metal at the door, because he glances up to the door, and that's when it fades to black. If it was the guy from the bathroom, you would think he would look over to the right, unless he didn't see it coming, because a lot of people theorize that it goes back to what was his name, Bacalao, that one other guy, where Bobby Bacalao. Yeah, where he mentions death comes when you least expect it, and you're not even going to see it, or you're not even going to see it coming. And it was it that he glanced up to Meadow, and that's where his focus was, so he didn't see his death coming from the side where that guy coming out of the bathroom. So really, really good seeing it a second time. It holds up just as well. The funny parts were still funny. The dramatic parts were still dramatic. I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad I got to watch it a second time through. I don't know. Maybe I'll try to watch the movie next, even though Andy says that it kind of sucks. But maybe sucked, I'll.
Dude. I know they're making a sequel, though. I do know that. And then you're going to see a young Johnny Sack and like all this other stuff. So it's going to be. Yeah, they fucked up the mini sense in work. That's all I'm going to say about that.
So might give it a try, even though Andy doesn't really recommend it. But we'll see. We'll see what comes next. But let's switch gears here. Going on to Noel. Noel, man, had some car issues that you finally took care of. Fill us in on the headaches in your world right now.
Yeah, man. So it's been over a month. I've been trying to get this figured out and fixed, and finally, I can confirm it's good to go. The car is working, everything's fine. But so the car I have, to give a little like background, is over 15 years old. I got it in 2007. I got it brand new. I'm the only owner. I'm the only one that's really driven it. My dad's driven it a few times, maybe my brother's on occasion. But so I'm the only driver, and I've tried to maintain it as best as I can. And it hasn't really given me problems in all this time. So it's one of those things where I don't want to sell it and get a new car until that's like the only choice that I have, kind of thing. So with this car, the engine, transmission, all that stuff's been, you know, solid, no issues with that. But just last year I had to replace, it was kind of like the exhaust connection to the muffler and all that. Like it was, you know, it was a part of that connects the engine to the actual exhaust. And I also had to replace some mounting brackets because the engine mount, it needed like new brackets because it was, you know, broken. And that's what led to the exhaust issue that I was having too. So I replaced all that. And then my suspension started giving me issues, and it's a 15-year-old suspension. So I figured that needed replacement. I replaced that, I want to say like two, 3 weeks ago. And then my brakes started giving me issues where I would hear all this loud noise and like this scraping sound. And it just sounded like not good. And it would like actually impede like the velocity of the car. Like if I let go of the acceleration, it would slow down much faster than it should, which I thought maybe that means like the brakes aren't releasing the way they should. Like they're actually just stuck in like a clasp position. So
the caliper anyway, might be busted or something.
And that's what it was, man. It was the calipers were bad. The pads were worn down to like nothing because the calipers were bad. So I ended up replacing the calipers and the rear pads. And I'm like, you know what, man, I might as well just do this all in one go. Just get, you know, I got the suspension replaced, the front, the rear. I got the four wheels, the rotors, the pads, and the calipers all replaced. And then I'm like, the mechanic was telling me, he's like, hey, you also need to replace the sensors because they're looking like they're going to get really bad. They're like rotting out. And I'm like, all right, yeah, let's replace the sensors. So I bought all new sensors and he installed them. But then after the last visit, because this was like done in like pieces. This was done like one weekend, then the next weekend, and the weekend after that. Because he's the kind of mechanic that can go to your house, so he would come to the house and do it on the days he had free, which was usually the weekends. And I got a good price out of it. Like, I'm not going to talk how much I paid because it's kind of like depressing. But ultimately, I saved a lot compared to, you know, going to like a dealership or somewhere like a mechanic that that, you know, charges generally exorbitant amount of money. So this guy gave me a decent deal for all the work that he did. But the problem that comes with the mechanic that goes to your house is he doesn't have a shop, right? He has his car, he has his tools, but there's going to be a lot of tools that he's not going to be able to have. And sometimes things can get broken because he has to, like, you know, do some stuff in a ghetto way to take things apart. And with an old car with old bolts and old screws and all that stuff that's rusted and been through 15 Chicago winters, it's some things will get, you know, broken. And so unfortunately he broke the sensor on the rear left, and not just the sensor, but the actual bearing that it connects to. So this is the wheel speed sensor. It's what tells the computer, like, the velocity of the wheels, and kind of helps the ABS system, the anti-lock brake system, like, you know, function the way it's supposed to. And it uses the sensor to gauge, you know, the way it should work or whatever. So with that out of whack, the ABS sensor went off, the traction control went off, and then I got a check engine light. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? You know, from one day to the next, it seemed like the car was freaking having all these issues, and it like frustrated me. So I shopped around to see where I could take it to, and I needed a wheel alignment anyway, so I finally settled on Firestone. Took it to Firestone to get the wheel alignment. That was done. Had them do the diagnostic on the car to see what the sensor issue is. And that, man, so I did that on a Tuesday. They told me that it was the sensor that would need to be replaced. I dropped it off on Thursday to get that done, hoping to pick it up on Friday. Then they tell me they're still working on it. Then on Saturday, yesterday, I call back, like, hey, are you guys done? They're like, no, you know what? The sensor on the top right, like the passenger front sensor, is also bad. We need to replace that. So that's more money now. And I'm like, all right, well, if it needs it, it needs it. Like, I don't want to say no, because then if I do, then everything I did was for nothing, because it's not going to solve the issue. Like, the whole point is to solve the issue of the ABS, right? I want to make sure the anti-lock brakes work. I don't want to freaking get stuck in the situation where I'm going to get in an accident, because then that's going to be more money and maybe, you know, potentially harm me or someone else. So I'm like, all right, get it fixed. Yeah, fix the other sensor. Then I call him back hours later because I'm like, this should have been done already. Like, what's going on? I need my car. I call them. They're like, yeah, you know what? So we replaced the front sensor. The rear sensor we replaced, but it keeps giving us that you know, that code, the ABS and all that. It still gives us the error. And we found out that it's the wheel bearing that actually has, like, these teeth that connect to the sensor. And that was broken probably by the mechanic that installed it initially. And I'm like, all right, well, fuck, like, what do I do now? He's like, well, that'll be another hundreds of dollars to fix that. I'm just like, Jesus, man, like, this was, like, not supposed to be this complicated, and it's just so stressful. And, like, I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what more do we got to do this? So I asked him, like, I paid you guys for a diagnostic, so is this it? Like, is this done? Like, this is gonna fix it? Because you should have told me that, like, a long time ago when you did the first diagnostic. Like, he's trying to give me excuses, like, well, we used a camera now to see it. I couldn't see what I couldn't see, but now we see it. I'm like, well, can you look for anything else? Is that it? Like, I don't want any more surprises. He's like, no, this should fix it. Once you replace the bearing, then we put the sensor into it. That should be it. And all the codes will go away and the car will be running the way it's supposed to. I'm like, okay, let's do it. Finally did it. They were able to get the part, like, within an hour from their warehouse, and they got it done yesterday. So just yesterday I got my car back. No codes, nothing. You know, knocking on wood that it stays that way and I can keep this car for the foreseeable future and start saving up for a new one, because I've had just about enough headaches with this one. Like, even though it wasn't, like, the engine and transmission, those are, like, the big, you know, cost.
Big ticket ones, right.
Right. it ran me a good amount of money, man, just to fix this stuff. So I'm like, you know, I pray to God, this is like, that's it. Like, I don't have to worry about nothing else with this car for years, you know, that way I can really save up and get a new one.
Right. And now I know you mentioned it was 15 years you've had this. Now, in that, you do have low mileage on it, right? So it's not like 15 years and it's like 200,000 miles on it.
Right. 80,000. I just got to it this month, I think, in March.
Right. So it's even though it's been with you for a lot of years, you do have low mileage. So it's still fairly new. I think most cars are kind of like middle age or kind of on the older age. Once they hit 100, 150 is mostly where I think people kind of gauge like, yeah, this is an older car kind of thing. So, yeah, man, car problems, it's always going to be a thing, man. I've had my share of car problems. The Corolla was starting to give me issues, and I started kind of seeing these suspension brake issues with it. So I kind of saw that it's my chance to get out before I have to make some costly repairs. And yeah, sometimes you see those coming up and you know, you kind of get the sense that it's time to bail before it costs you more money.
Yeah, no, it was rough, but you know, it needed to be done. The way I look at it, it's like 15 years, it worked like a charm. I didn't have to replace, I replaced the brakes every, you know, number of years, you know, that's not the first time, but like the suspension lasted me these 15 years, and that's kind of what like added to it, you know. The brakes you're supposed to replace every few years or whatever, and then the tires I just replaced this year. So yeah, it just kind of came all at once is really the main issue, versus, you know, most people would have it like spread out throughout those 15 years, and I just happened to get it at this tail end here. But you know, I'm going to start saving up for cars because it's one of those things, man. It's expensive as shit right now, so I can't really, you know.
It's a bad time to buy a car, man, especially a new one. Even the used ones are pricey.
And that's the thing, man. I won't buy used, dude. Like, maybe if it was, like, just 1 year. But even then, I always wonder, like, how did the person before me drive this car? Were they, like, flooring it every single stop? Because when I go to work every morning, man, I see a lot of people rushing to the next red light. I'm like, I don't get why people are flooring it to the next red light. I literally see the red light coming down the way. Like, I'm going to hit the gas, you know, at a steady pace. But these guys are like slamming on this acceleration just to get to the next red light 10 seconds before me. I don't crazy, get it, man. You know? So people, I'm like, all right. Crazy. Exactly. I'm like, I gotta buy new. Like, if I'm gonna buy anything, it's gonna be new with the full warranty on it, because I don't want to take any chances. But yeah, one last thing I want to say before I wrap up here on my update. I was just playing Diablo 4. The beta was this weekend. I was playing actually just before this episode
nice. Came down.
Yeah, so Diablo 4 is in the works. It's gonna be coming out, I think, later on this year. The beta was initially for those that pre-purchased, and then they had an open beta for anyone. And so I was like, yeah, let me try it out. You know, I played all the Diablos, and I was curious to see, and it's looking pretty nice, man. The graphically looks beautiful. It runs fairly well. I think I needed an upgrade on my computer, but for the most part, if you tweak the settings, it'll run really well. And it's got more of a cinematic vibe, which I like to it. Some of the cutscenes, like, beautifully done. It's like I'm watching a movie set in the Diablo world, which is cool. And then I made the Necromancer as one of my favorite characters. Got to summon some skeletons and shit like that. And so it was pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I think if you guys get a chance to try it out, you know, it's worth looking into.
Diablo Blizzard Activision thing, or?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they are Blizzard. One of the, you know, major titles of Blizzard is Diablo, StarCraft, World of Warcraft. Yeah.
And who did they sold out to somebody recently, right? They got bought out, or
they're in process with Microsoft right
Microsoft.
Now.
Microsoft, yeah.
I think, yeah. But I could have sworn that there's like some issues with that deal that it might not go through. Yeah. I have to look into it.
Yeah, right now the
they have something blocking it because Sony and Nintendo, and I think Google as well, are claiming that it would make Microsoft a monopoly, that they would have too many big studios and too big, so that it's they should stay independent or break up Activision into multiple pieces and sell it that way, so that you could split it up into other companies.
Right. And that makes sense. I mean, Microsoft's already been dealing with that monopoly for a long time, because we don't really have any other operating system. We only got Windows, unless you want to buy a Mac at like twice the price for no reason, you know? So we'll see what happens. But so far, the beta gameplay was actually pretty fun, man. It's not perfect by any means. There's some things that, like, as a Diablo 2 like veteran player, I kind of wish like they would change a little bit. But so far, it looks better than Diablo 3, which was like more cartoony. It felt more like World of Warcraft than it did Diablo. And this one seems more like that like medieval, gothic, dark, like demonic feel to it, you know? So it's literally one of the scenes, and I'll wrap it up with this. One of the scenes before I got on for this episode was in a cathedral where Lilith, like one of the mother of demons, like literally like just rose from the ground and overcame and tempted the people in the church to kill the priest that was delivering the sermon, and they murdered him brutally. Like, it was insane. And to see everybody else like just become possessed to like murder in like a ravenous, murderous rage, I was like, that's Diablo. Like, Diablo's back, you know? Like, that's pretty cool. So,
damn.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, let's shift it gears here to the next thing, and we are going to get into the article of the week. We got two articles here. Mainly just want to cover the major one here really quick. For the first article, I'll put them both up there, but one of them is like a little less, it's an underwhelming now. So the first one is a skyscraper-sized asteroid will get closer to Earth than the moon on Saturday. And the Saturday would have been yesterday, March 25th. Today is March 26th at the day we're recording. So, you know, we survived, guys. That asteroid didn't do shit to us, thankfully. But yeah, I just wanted to mention it because it's always cool to see, like, when these massive, like, rocks and asteroids, you know, get in the news because they're coming closer to Earth. I always, like, take a look at it. It's, you know, it's always, like, in the back of my head, like, well, will it be our lifetime that we see something like this hit the Earth? Well, there is a small chance, although, quotes, very small chance, that there will be an asteroid hitting Earth in 23 years. And that leads us to the article on NPR titled, "Newly Found Asteroid Has a Very Small Chance of Hitting Earth, NASA Says." And this was released on March 10th. Author is Bill Chappell. So there's the asteroid 2023 DW was just discovered in late February, but NASA says it's tracking it closely to learn about its orbital path because the asteroid has a very small chance of impacting Earth in 23 years. The asteroid's diameter is listed at nearly 50 meters, or roughly the size of an Olympic swimming pool, and it takes about 271 days to orbit the sun, which is actually quicker than it is for Earth to orbit it, which is around 365. So NASA says that after a new object is first discovered, it takes several weeks of data to reduce the uncertainties and adequately predict their orbits years into the future. So as for how small the chance of impact currently is estimated to be, NASA puts it as 1 in 560 odds of impact. Put another way, it's only 0.18% chance of hitting Earth, or 99.82% chance that the asteroid will streak harmlessly past our planet. So it's not necessarily like a huge risk or anything, but it is one of those things where it's a pretty big size. It could do some damage if it ever does hit the Earth. And it does kind of like give examples here of how it could. It talks about the Tunguska event that happened in Siberia in 1908 that tore up 800 square miles of land, blasted 80 million trees, leaving them splayed in a radial pattern. So I thought it was kind of interesting. What do you guys think about this?
So you're saying there is a chance?
Yep.
Yeah, I from that first article, I wasn't aware that when it hit Russia in 2013, and there was actually some good footage of it because it had hit a lake that was really close to a city. So people actually got this thing on camera impacting the earth. And that was in 2013 in Russia. And man, it like broke windows and did all this craziness. I wasn't aware of it. But this article made mention that, yeah, this isn't the first time an asteroid or a meteor gets close to Earth and actually impacts. Now, thankfully, that one was fairly small. I think they said it was the size of like a semi truck or something like that. So it wasn't so huge. But still, man, it did considerable damage. And there was like over 1,000 people injured, mostly from like breaking glass. And because it shook the Earth and a lot of structures kind of broke. So kind of crazy stuff that could happen. And the other part about that Russia thing in 2013 that astronomers, they didn't even know about it, that it happened so quickly since it was so small, or in theory small, that it kind of passed their radar until it hit into Earth's atmosphere. And by that point, it was too late to even predict or put out an article or in a news broadcast. It happened within minutes. So kind of crazy.
Yeah. What would you do? Like, there's an asteroid coming. Like, I don't know how people would react to it. They'd tell you, don't panic, but people are going to panic. So there's always stuff swinging by fucking Earth. And mankind's been pretty lucky. So it's going to be, I think when it does happen, we're not going to know about it.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of recourse we really have. If we even knew, like, we had a month ahead of time, kind of like Armageddon or something like that, I don't know what we could even do.
Well, I would hope they would be able to throw, like, a nuke at it, you know, like a missile at it. Because, like, for example, like the semi-truck size one, or even this one that says it's the size of an Olympics. Yes, well, that was the other one that passed.
That was
by
the one
yesterday.
That passed. Yeah, right.
Or like this one that the Olympic swimming pool size. That could be destroyed with a couple of missiles, at least destroyed and or like broken up enough that when it enters the atmosphere, it'll be small enough that it won't do damage, or it'll just like break up even more in the atmosphere. Because really, it's just a matter of getting it down to a size that it's not going to do as much damage.
Yeah, for sure. You would kind of hope that there's something that you can do. But like in Armageddon, they said, well, if you just hit it with a nuke, you're either not going to do anything to it, or you're just going to break it up into like two or three big pieces. And then not only do you have to deal with one crater, you have to deal with three big asteroids hitting a population or whatever. So definitely kind of crazy. Not to take over the article, but man, did you guys look like it was, I think now a month ago now, or at the beginning of March. Now that we moved to Lake County, dude, we see stars every night. If it's a clear night, there's very little light pollution out here. So you see stars all the time. And I was throwing out the garbage. And when I went to throw out the garbage, dude, there was these two really bright lights in the sky that were like, they looked like they were almost next to each other. And so right away, I Google it. I call Junior. We go look out. We're like, what the hell is this? And it was actually Venus and Jupiter. They were so close. I think they were called the kissing planets, or at least that's what they were naming it, since it was the closest they've been since I don't know how long. And, dude, you could see them in the sky. And it was so awesome. And they were really bright, kind of like the northern star. It was really bright. And it was pretty cool, man. I wish I had a telescope and stuff like that, because I'm sure, you know, geeks like that, they probably went crazy over seeing it.
100%, man. It's cool to see, like, just how, like, magnificent the universe can be. I remember seeing Mars a few times. Like there was like a news report that you would be able to see it if you looked in the sky at night. And sure enough, I was outside just, you know, having myself a blunt and looking up at the sky, and I could see like a shining thing. And I'm like, I think that's Mars right there, because it's bigger and brighter than a star, like the distant stars, you know, because when you look up at the sky, you see multiple stars, but those are so far away. They might not even be around anymore. It's just their light is like barely getting to us, you know, all these millions of years later. But Mars, it's like distinctly bigger. And so I remember seeing that. I was like, man, it's just cool as hell. I do also want a telescope one day. Check it out.
Yeah, for sure, man. To me, I've always had interest in it, but when I've looked at the prices of the telescopes, I kind of get discouraged, and I'm like, forget it.
So, yeah, that was a big thing in our community page here where I live. People were posting pictures of it, and like the same guy's like, it's Venus and Jupiter, blah, blah, blah. And then some guy put a picture. He had a telescope. And he put a picture of Jupiter so you could see, like, his telescope. Like, you actually saw the rings on there.
Right,
right. Kind of cool. And I just remember seeing that. But, yeah, they were pretty – I remember seeing them, too. They were pretty bright. And they were big, too.
That's what she said. But, yeah, it was totally awesome, man. It really blew me out. I thought, man, is this an alien? What the hell is this? And I used to have an app, and since the Venus thing, I've downloaded it again, but an app where if you put your phone up into the sky, it'll tell you what star you're looking at, because it moves with the gyro of the phone, and it gives you a perception of, all right, these are the stars, these are the satellites, these are the what you're looking at in the sky, and give them a name. So that you could be able to identify them. And I would assume that if you don't see it on your phone, then yeah, that's probably ET looking back at you.
That is pretty cool, actually. That's a way to look at it. Interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool. Really cool stuff. But yeah, I guess jumping back into the article, man, it's kind of like what I had mentioned to Andy with the banking thing, man. I hate to think of craziness like this happening and kind of destroying the earth, destroying our future. I don't know if it's just better to live in ignorance and not even think about asteroids hitting the earth one day.
I think at that point it depends, right? Because when people hear asteroids are coming or hitting earth, people instantly think of dinosaurs, like we're gonna get wiped out. But that's not necessarily the case. But there can be shit that could happen. And I don't know, man. I mean, to me, yeah. Like, but at that point, there's nothing you can do. Like, even if you had, like, a bomb shelter, like, what the fuck? Were you going to be just there eating processed food for, like, fucking 10 years or something? Like that's not really living, right?
I would think it's going to take more than 10 years if something did hit. I would think it would take, like, 2-3 decades before things are habitable again.
It could take a while, but there are some ways to like, I guess, survive it. It wouldn't be easy by any means. Like, humanity would probably, if not get wiped out, it would be close to the brink. It would be on, like, a very thin line of, like, a little shred of humanity left, because anyone that does survive either the impact or the, what is it called, like, the winter, the nuclear winter, whatever they call it, mm-hmm. For those, it'd probably be, like you said, like a decade or more. All that time without food, you would have to, like, find a way to, you know, eat underground. Like, maybe you'd have, like, I don't know, thermal generators. You'd have to have, like, you know, like a dam generator. And then you'd have, like, hydroponics, you know, so you can grow vegetables and stuff. Maybe you'd have, like, some kind of Noah's Ark type shit where you have, like, a bunch of animals. I'm sure the government would have something going, but most people, yeah, they wouldn't be able to have anything sophisticated in that level.
Yeah, I think The Simpsons did an episode on this where an asteroid is going to hit Springfield and nobody can do anything, so ultimately people just watched. And then the asteroid, by the time it hit Springfield, it got tore up by all the smog and pollutions that we put in put in the air. And then I think they ridiculed Lisa. See, you wanted us to not do this. By doing that, we saved our town by polluting the earth. So I don't know. Maybe hopefully that would happen. If the smog and all the shit we put in the air will shrink that fucking rock up pretty good. Can only hope, right?
For sure, for sure.
But we want to thank you guys for listening. We're going to wrap this up, man. We got busy people here today. We want to thank you for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Twitter at Freeform Network. You can send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Check out our new webpage that I'm not too crazy about right now, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. Let me repeat that, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you see our links to all the platforms that we're on, iTunes, Podbean, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify. We're on Spotify right then. I don't even know. We're on so many, I can't keep up no more. But whatever, how you consume us, like, subscribe, comment, that helps us in the long run. And that we would truly appreciate that. And we want to thank you. So for Freeform Radio, we got Danny.
Yes, sir, man. I'm getting a little hungry. Maybe get a bite to eat. We'll see how the afternoon goes.
And then we got Noel.
Hey, thank you, everybody, for listening. We do appreciate you.
And it's all good, Andy. We want to thank you for listening. And then you guys enjoy your week, and we'll catch you next time.
Dad.